Good morning. Welcome to Bethlehem Lutheran Church, where God has called and gathered us here this day to receive his gifts through his word and his sacrament. The first reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 8. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In this humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe this generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the town until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world. Therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. None of you should be surprised that I went to go and see the new superhero movie on Friday. What you may be surprised about is that Jesus actually gets mentioned. I won't spoil the story or anything, but basically what happens is that a few of the superheroes meet some of the other superheroes for the first time, and eventually, after a few shenanigans, one of them asks, "Who is your neighbor?" The hero replies, Who is your master? The hero replies, "Who is my master? What do you expect me to say? Jesus?" Unfortunately, that's about as good of a reference as you're going to get to Jesus in a blockbuster film nowadays. But somewhat surprisingly, fits fairly well with our text for today. Today, we are going to be talking about the spirits. And while this verse does include the angels and the demons, that isn't really primarily who it's talking about. Listen, therefore, to find out what spirits we are talking about and how to test them. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you can know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this, we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Frequently, when you hear somebody talking about testing the spirits, especially in sort of a spiritual atmosphere, a lot of the times they're talking about actual spirits, angels or demons. Which, of course, demons are just fallen angels, right? However, while that is most certainly included in this Bible verse, it's not really what John's trying to get at. Because it's pretty rare that an angel is going to come and talk to you. And it's pretty rare, even, that a demon will let you know that they are a demon in coming and talking to you. Angels that are following God usually rely on his word, just like Jesus does. And a demon is smarter than to let you know that they are a demon when you are talking to them. And so you wouldn't usually know that. Rather, what this is really trying to get at is there in that last part there, where it talks about there are many false prophets who have gone out into the world. This isn't really primarily talking about the angels and the demons. It's actually talking about other people. And kind of even more specifically than that, other people who are claiming to have some sort of authority to speak. Those are the people that you need to test. Because those are the people who will be telling you something and asking you to believe it. And the unfortunate truth of the world that we live in is that you cannot believe every spirit. In many cases, this is simply because those other spirits are mistaken, that they themselves don't know that they're wrong or that they've made an error. But in some very cruel cases, the person actually does know that they're wrong, and they're trying to fool you and trying to trick you. And so what John is trying to tell his people here is that they can't afford to be naive about who is speaking to them with authority about God. They have to test them. But John also knows that people don't have any idea how to actually do that. And so he gives them the tools. And specifically, he says that every spirit who is from God confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, this is very, very interesting, isn't it? Because notice that it did not say that every spirit who confesses that Jesus died on the cross for your sins is from God. Which is very interesting, because that's normally what we think about as sort of the core of our belief. And to be fair, that is the core of our belief. But there are a great many people who are willing to say that. Basically, who are willing to lie about it. But interestingly enough, the incarnation, the fact that the Son of God, who was before a spirit, came down, took on the name Jesus, was born from the woman Mary, lived a full human life as a human, and was, in fact, 100% human, that one's a little bit more of a sticking point for people. That one you'll find people struggling with. And in fact, the vast majority of heresies that you see come down to that. Was Jesus really a man? And was Jesus really a God? And of course, we say yes. But this is also how you need to look out, and you need to test those other people, those other authorities who are trying to speak. Because if they are not willing to confess that, then they are spirits of the Antichrist. This isn't necessarily talking about sort of like what we think of as the Antichrist, as in the one singular person who's spoken of in a few other places. Because we see in the Bible that there's actually more than one Antichrist, although there is sort of one culminating figure that seems to show up in the Bible. But he's not the only one. And there are certainly other people who are following that same spirit. Of course, the Antichrist is simply the one who is against Christ. The one who is simply fighting him, going in the opposite direction. And as much as we hate to admit it, there are people who are doing that. And probably even harder for us to admit, because we don't want it to be true, is that there are people who think they are Christians who are actually following after spirits of the Antichrist. John here gives you a way to test that, a way to look at them and say, are you truly speaking with the Spirit of God? And interestingly enough, it's not just that they confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. There's also a few other things. For instance, that those who speak with the Spirit of God are listened to by those who know God. You'll notice as we go through Scripture that listening is incredibly important. Places in the Bible even speak of it as being that it is through the hearing that comes faith. However, for those who follow the Antichrist, for the ones who speak with the spirit of the Antichrist, they are listened to by the world. And isn't it interesting how often when some major disaster happens and the world wants a response from the spiritual leaders, they don't usually come to us. They usually go to other people. People who we might struggle to say are following the Spirit of God. And yet we also recognize that there's another thing. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And you'd think that this would be obvious, right? You'd think that, well, the people who speak the truth and are recognized as speaking the truth should be the ones that you follow. And yet, how many times have people predicted the end of the world, proceeded to be wrong multiple times, and yet they are still followed by people? And yet the world still focuses and fixates on them rather than on focusing on Christ and on those who are preaching Christ who has come in the flesh to be the propitiation for our sins. How interesting, isn't it, that when we apply these tests, they are just as valid today as they have been in the past. But of course, John doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just stop with these tests and the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. He continues on. Listen, therefore, as our reading continues. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, in that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. One of the things that we struggle with is that we like to try and fit God into boxes. And we like to say, well, God is Father, and God is Son, and God is Holy Spirit. And we sort of don't think about the fact that he's also all of them at one time. Primarily because we don't know how that works, and so that's hard to think about. But another example of maybe how we do that that's a little bit more subtle is that we tend to think of God as being both the spirit of truth and the spirit of love. But we very rarely think about those two things at the same time. God is both the spirit of truth and the spirit of love. And everything that he does is both of those things. God is love. Here, John actually defines God using the word love. And of course, this is that Greek word agape, which means unconditional love, that divine love that will never stop and will always be there. And the primary way that we know this is because he sent his son to die on the cross for us. Because he sent his son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. And what a lot of people don't get about being a Christian is that being a Christian is not about our love for God. Being a Christian is about God's love for us. And that's the spirit of truth, is that God loves you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He loves you so much that he created you, even though he knew that we were going to mess up his creation with all of our sin. And yet we're still here. Even as we are actively doing that, he withholds his judgment and favors mercy, showing us his love and allowing us to continue. In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. This is the truth. This is what a great many people unfortunately get messed up. We love to think that everything relies on us, including our relationship to God. And the spirits of the world, the spirits of the Antichrist, are going to agree with that. They come up with a million ways of saying the same thing, that you must save yourself. They lie to you and tell you that God does not love you enough to save you himself, that you must in fact earn your eternity for yourself. And you ought to expect that from those following other religions. What else could they say but what the world believes when they refuse to believe the truth? What does have a habit of getting us, though, is those who call themselves Christians and yet start speaking like this. When people start acting as if truth doesn't matter, as if it doesn't matter whether Jesus came in the flesh or was really resurrected in the flesh, as if all that really matters is you making a choice. We ought not be surprised that more and more so-called Christian denominations are becoming more and more willing to be in fellowship, not just with each other, but also with other religions. It is simply another example of false prophets. However, do not believe that just because we are from the Most Hallowed Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, that everything we teach must be right. Do not believe in Lutheran theology simply because it came from the mouth of Luther. Even me, as you heard 2 weeks ago, I make mistakes. Don't trust someone's word simply because it's enjoyable to listen to them. Don't trust someone's word simply because someone else told you they were worth listening to. The only reason that you should trust someone's word is if it lines up with the word. You cannot allow yourselves to be novices in the study of Scripture. If you do, you will be thrown about every which way by every storm and trial. You'll get rocked every time someone brings up a false doctrine that sounds really good and makes you feel right. You should trust my spirit because you have tested my spirit. You should trust Lutheran theology because you have tested it. You should trust everything that anybody says, or you should test everything that anybody says against God and against the scriptures. And if they refuse to acknowledge God and to acknowledge that Jesus came into the flesh, you shouldn't trust anything they say about God. This is hard. It is not easy. But God doesn't want you to remain children. Children are easily led astray because they will, generally speaking, believe what someone tells them at face value. Why do you think you have to teach stranger danger to children? John today is trying to teach you spiritual stranger danger. He's trying to help you to mature into strong Christian adults, the very people who you were made to be. You are free to seek after that goal, to try and become mature spiritually. And if you think you are mature spiritually, I challenge you to try and remember the 6 chief parts of the Christian faith and from where those parts are drawn. And I'm not talking about the small catechism. I'm talking about from where they're drawn in Scripture. Or if you want a baby step, simply ask yourself this question. What are the 10 commandments, and where could I find them in the Bible? I suspect that that may not be as easy for us as we'd like to think it would be. But if that is easy for you, excellent! Congratulations! Now keep it up. Dig deeper into the Word. Read the Lutheran confessions. Figure out if they go with the Word or if they don't. Become so familiar with the Word of God and with the Spirit of truth that when the spirit of the Antichrist rears his ugly head, that you can recognize him instantly. That should be your goal. And your reward is something that a great many of us dearly want and need. Stability, peace. When you spend your life breathing the Word of God, nothing will be able to rock you, at least not permanently. Because you will know the truth of what John tells us here. You will know that in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You will know that you are from God and that you have overcome the world. For He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. As you read the Bible more and more, you'll come to realize that the entire book is about the fact that Jesus died for you. It's about the truth that Jesus the Christ loved you enough to become man and to die on the cross for your sin. And that because He did that for you, you will be with Him into eternity. Who is your master? I do expect you to say Jesus, because there is nothing and no one else in all of reality that deserves to be your master more than the one who suffered for your sins. You are free to trust in Him and to trust in those He has sent to speak His truth to you. Now may the peace which passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.